The gospel lesson for today comes from the lectionary assigned reading for today from Matthew's gospel, reading from the 24th chapter, beginning with verse 36. Jesus has spoken about the coming Son of Man, and he gives further instruction to his disciples in these verses. Listen for the word of God. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left, and two women will be grinding meal together, and one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake, would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an unexpected hour. Let us pray. Living and gracious God, draw near to us once more. Open our ears to your words, open our hearts to your spirit. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Advent marks the beginning of the church year. Now, you would expect that the first Sunday of a new year would be marked by scripture readings that are celebratory and upbeat. But in truth, the gospel lessons assigned for today are always about the end of the world. It's like you expected a birthday party with balloons and bright packages, and instead of that, you receive the instruction to go on an annual visit to an old professor's house who lets you in and pushes aside some papers on his couch so you can sit down, who moves slowly with a slight tremor in his hands to pull an ancient book off a shelf, dusty, whose pages are thick and musty, and who, after adjusting his thick glasses, takes a long time to find just the right spot and then begins to read this to you. But about that day and hour, no one knows. In the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. And so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Keep awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, then he would have stayed awake, would not have let his house be broken into. And therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Now, most of the time, we actually don't want to think about the second coming of Jesus, the Son of Man. We let the professor read his words to us on the first Sunday of Advent every year, and then usually we try to change the subject, and we quickly ask him about how his Thanksgiving was, or wasn't it a shame the Steelers lost to the Ravens? But occasionally, on this Sunday, we quiet ourselves down enough before the professor closes the heavy book, and we ask him why he chooses passages like this year after year. And that causes him to take a deep breath and adjust his glasses and then look us right in the eye and saying, I read those words so that you'll remember that all of this means something. Now, confused, we ask, all of what? And he replies, history. All of history means something. We are people of the present. We live in the now. We focus on today, this very moment. And yes, it's true. There are some times that we look back and we remember how things were in the past when we were younger. And sometimes we look ahead and try to envision where we'll be in 5 or 10 or 20 years from now. But mostly we live right in the now, just trying to get through the hours ahead of us, crossing things off our to-do list, and then eventually, when the day is done, pulling ourselves once more under the covers as we fall into our beds at night. Advent, though, the season of Advent forces us to stop and to grapple with that important question. Is there meaning to this life? Now, on one side, the cynic looks at the expanse of human history through the lens of politics and war and slavery and pollution, and like Shakespeare's Macbeth, tells us, no, life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. And on the other side, the optimist points us towards smiling children's faces and flowers and music and beauty and art, and then offers the words of the mystic Julian of Norwich, who says, no, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and every manner of thing shall be well. But Advent is neither overly pessimistic nor overly optimistic. It stamps its foot down to get our attention, and then it insists to us that all of history means something. Life is going somewhere. And every day is important. And so we're to pay attention. We're to keep alert. We're to stay awake. Now, as those words sink in, we then ask ourselves, well, what are we supposed to be doing while we watch and wait, as the passage tells? We basically have two choices, scripture or selfies. Now, a few days ago, the Oxford English Dictionary declared that the 2013 word of the year is selfies, which is very appropriate. A selfie is a self-portrait photograph taken of a person using their own smartphone or their computer webcam. In this self-obsessed age, how appropriate that the word of the year is a word that means taking a picture of yourself and then posting it. But in contrast to selfies, Scripture tells us to be alert and watchful, and their very next verses don't talk about us, but talk about others, other groups of people. So after this passage, they immediately start talking about bridesmaids, 5 of whom who were prepared and doing their work, and 5 of whom who were somewhat negligent and lazy and distracted and unprepared. And then it talks about servants, all of whom had been given money and trusted them by their master, some of whom invested it and used it wisely to benefit many, but others who were afraid and hid it and buried it and were anxious about using it. And then we hear another parable about groups who are split into sheep and goats, where some gave food to the hungry and water to the thirsty and visited the sick and comfort to the lonely, where others did not do those deeds. So we have self-portraits versus group portraits, a focus on number one or a focus on the common good. That is the Advent choice. Now, the Bible tells us, you should be alertful. You should be watchful. But it's not so much talking about vigilance as it is talking about field of vision. Christ calls us to keep our eyes focused on more than just ourselves, to love others as we wish others to love us. The wise Jewish scholar Abraham Heschel has said that true persons of faith have the ability to hold God and humanity in a single thought. And I love that idea. God and humanity in one vision. It's that type of double focus that is at the heart of Advent watchfulness. And it's in that spiritual vigilance that we remember how much history matters. And that all that has happened in the past, whatever's happening now, whatever is going to happen, is intimately connected with God's hopes, God's plans, God's intent and spirit, God's desire for all humankind. And we are a part of that plan if we stay alert. Now, the old professor has closed the book on his lap and slowly gotten to his feet and is sliding the book back into its place on the dusty shelf behind him. And while his back is turned to you, a second question comes to your mind. And you ask, why does Christ, the Son of Man, want to return to earth? And as soon as you say the words, you brace yourself, because you expect the man to whirl around with those familiar words about judgment and separation of sheep from goats, how some are welcomed and others are left outside in the darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the professor slowly turns around and after a pause simply says, nostalgia. And seeing the confusion on our face, he continues, nostalgia, from the Greek words nostos, meaning to come home, and algos, meaning a pain, a grief, a longing. It's a translation of the German word Heimweh, meaning a painful longing for home. Christ wants to come home to be with us. Now, yes, it's true. God is with us always in our past, in our present, in our future days. But the mystery of the incarnation tells us that in the fullness of time, God emptied God's self and became human. How did Paul put it? God emptied God's self, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. We believe that God in Christ lived and walked among us, ate bread, and watched the sun rise, and splashed in water, and smiled at children, and sat beside others in times of prayer. We believe that God in Christ breathed through his lungs and felt his heartbeat, and listened to songs sung by workers in the fields, and fully knew how precious it is to be alive and to be alive together. Christ is impatient for this world to be healed of its brokenness, to study war no more, for food to be shared, for all to be well. Christ is full of algos, the yearning, the painful, persistent longing for us, a longing expressed in sighs too deep for words. The Advent reading speaks about one person being taken and one person being left behind. But that's largely symbolic language to emphasize the unexpected quality of Christ's return. At its heart, the Advent passages tell us to wait and work and watch, serving a Christ who is also waiting and working and watching and longing to be with us, full of nostalgia, to be completely, utterly in our midst again. Do you believe that? Knowing that Christ is so anxious to return is what makes today meaningful. It's what makes history have a purpose. It's what makes Advent the most important season of the year. Remember that part of the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We're to get things ready for the one who so desperately wants to return. Advent, nostalgia. I suppose that's part of the reason why we visit the old professor on this first Sunday every year. Thanks be to God. Amen. As people preparing a place for the Christ who comes, I invite you to stand and join in our affirmation of faith as it is printed in the bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.